eyes open, but they're asleep. They're sleepwalkers. Okay? They drive cars and everything. But they're not awake. Because they believe they are only the human being that is driving that car. Mm-hmm. So always remember that. When you know when you're talking, when you're with a sleepwalker, and be aware when you're getting ready to enter a relationship with one. They, like Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You better be ready to say that a whole lot when you deal with unconscious people. You better be ready to go forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Because they would shoot you and feel justified. That's how asleep they are. They could see you with somebody and shoot you. Mm-hmm. And not only feel justified, have people agree that it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. There's very few people that in the world that if a guy said, boy, I caught my wife in bed with another man and I shot them both. And then in the world that people go, hey, yeah, that's what they deserve. See what I'm saying? Yeah. Those are sleep people, mm-hmm. You know. I'm going to take your life because you had sex with somebody. See, that is no way in the world a sane person could see the sanity in that statement. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill you because you touched another body. See, that makes total sense to the sleep man. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense at all to an awake man. But if an awake man gets in the bed with an asleep man, then the awake man is asking for it. And that's the temptation, because an awake man will fascinate an asleep man. Uh-huh. And they'll think, oh my God, you're the one I've been waiting for. Because you're talking so conscious, and you're talking so, but you don't realize, yeah, that they aren't capable of giving you that at all. Your ego might be all puffed out, because it makes you feel like you're the one that's most aware. And you're going to help them grow. Watch that word. Watch those words. Watch when you get with somebody and you go, oh, but I'm here to help them grow. Mm-hmm. That's the sabotage words of the universe from your ego. That's the kiss of death. You do not want to be in a relationship with anybody but an equal. Even if it's the same level of jealousy. Even if it's the same level of fear. Because at least you can relate to each other. I got a jealousy issue, you got a jealousy issue, we can work on our jealousy issue together because we both got one. But if I'm the one without one and you're the one with one, can't you see the constant clashes that's going to happen? I mean, why am I with you if I don't have it? You know, if I don't have a jealousy issue, why am I with you with a jealousy issue? Well, could it be because your jealousy gives me a false sense of security that keeps me from ever acting jealous because you're acting so upset about what I do makes me feel so secure in my specialness with you that I don't have to feel jealous because I know I got you. Look how big a fool you acting about what I'm doing. I got you. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to see my jealousy because there's no reason. You're making me feel like I'm the most important thing on earth because you're freaking out because I talked to somebody on the phone. What I've noticed is that when the other person, opposite from the jealous person, turns around and starts doing the exact same thing that the non-jealous person, then the non-jealous person, jealousy comes up almost every time. The person who's never been jealous, the person that's been freaking out, if for some reason they get their confidence up and then they start giving someone else attention, that so-called not just a jealousy person, those are the ones who sometimes become the biggest stalkers because they don't even know how to handle it. At least the person that's been jealous all the time has at least had some experience with acknowledging that feeling and dealing with that feeling. But when jealousy hits a person that's never experienced it before, it's much more devastating. I remember the first time it hit me, because I was one of those people. Mm-hmm. I remember vividly being one of those people. Jealousy? Such a low, what do you mean jealousy? You know? And then I remember the 1980, June 16th, not that I'm hanging on to that. Not that I have any issues that I haven't let go of, you know. I walked in and she was like dancing with somebody and they was like looking at each other like they meant it. You know what I mean? No, it looked like you come up and it's like they're not, you know, it's like, and it was like somebody just ripped my heart out of my chest and it was like it freaked me out because I really had never felt it before. And it was literally like somebody going, whop! Then I had to try to act like I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? That made it even worse. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm, you know, because I never am. You know? So then I had to fake. Yeah. And I went insane. Mm-hmm. then that was the next thing. I just went insane. Then I went insane, and then I was like accusing her of stuff, and I remembered so vividly that it was such a one. It ended up being one of the most positive things that ever happened to me, because I made the declaration that I would learn whatever it took to never have to feel that way again. And I used that as motivation for me to study the course more than I had ever studied the course before. And now, I'm not that way. You know, it's just I'm not that way. And so it's interesting. It's like the truth did work. It totally transformed me in that way. I may have other issues that I have to still transform, but jealousy isn't one of them. But I love watching the course work. It always works. Always, it scares you to death, and then it works. That's what it does. It drags you through the mud. It grabs you and it says, this is what you're doing that's totally insane and crazy and self-undoing. And then it picks you up, and then it dips you in the bag of clean water and says, and but you didn't really do anything, and nothing about you has really been affected by any of this crazy stuff you've done. You're still innocent. Then it goes, this is what you've been doing in this area over here, this insane and crazy and jealous and ridiculous and pathetic, and you ought to know better. But it hasn't really hurt you at all. You're still okay. And that's what people... So when people hear the crazy part, then sometimes they get disillusioned. It's quit coming. Because they don't know they're right behind telling you how crazy you are. It's going to tell you how sane you are. And they usually miss the punchline. Because they get too frightened by it. Like the things it says about specialness. They get too frightened by it. And then they don't stick around for the healing. So I hope you all will do that. So it says, and it says, you will not succeed in being partial hostage to the ego, because it what? Keeps no bargains and would leave you nothing. He says, nor can you be partial host to the ego. In other words, you can't be partial host to the fear. You can't be partial host to the idea of sacrifice. Again, the definitions come right from the section we're reading. He says, you must choose. Then your mind goes, what does that mean? We go on to the next sentence. You must choose between total freedom and total bondage, for there are no alternatives but these. So all this whole paragraph, these two paragraphs we read, could be reduced to that one sentence. Love is freedom, bondage is sacrifice. So you're always choosing between being totally free or totally limited. And then he says, you have tried many compromises. And we have. He said, in the attempt to do what? Avoid recognizing the one decision I must make. That's funny. He says, I thought I was making compromises about my freedom in order to keep the peace. The Course says, no, you're just trying to avoid recognizing that you've got to make a decision. Mm-hmm. See, the compromise is my way of stalling around. If I'm compromising about what I want to do with my life, I'm really avoiding making a decision about what I want to do with my life that represents my total freedom. So the more compromise that's going on, the more you're evading making a real decision for your freedom. You have to go, I will be treated with peace and respect, and I will not compromise on that. There will not be a compromise on that. You are not going to hit me. There is no justification for disrespecting me. There is no compromise on that. You're innocent, but there's no compromise on that. See, so compromise is me avoiding making a decision about how I want to be treated in that situation. That's what I love about the truth. You can apply it to any situation, and not just the situation that it might be talking about right in front of your face. That's when the Course really takes off, and you go, I'm going to take the same attitude, and I'm going to apply it to everything. Now, I'm not talking about compromise on who washed the dishes. We talking about something deeper than that, okay? Okay, just in case. What about, I don't want to watch the dishes. Well, then you ask, you're demanding a sacrifice of yourself, aren't you? Then you need to make the decision for total freedom. What do you mean? Take a stand. I'm washing the dishes three days a week. The rest of them, either you wash, or they just won't get washed. I'll buy me some paper plates. I'll come up with something, but I'm no longer going to sacrifice. See what I'm saying? It's because it would only be me demanding sacrifice. It's not about me getting that person to wash dishes, and it's not about me going to the hospital with anger because they won't wash dishes. It's about me doing what's going to free me from the conflict. That's what I'm going to do. And that blows people's minds when a person around a person who knows that they're free drives people who are control freaks bananas. When a control freak is being shown they have no power to control They try harder to control at first.